Hello, this is Lisa Holmes of Key Recruitment, and I'm delighted to welcome to our YouTube channel today a very special guest, which is Andrew Dean from Menlo Park Recruitment. Hello, Andy, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Well, thank you for joining us today. And for those who aren't familiar with yourself and your business, would you like to give us an explanation as to what you actually do?
It's been a very kind of like strange time of late, because you know, if you'd have asked me this a few months ago, I'd have said we've been going 5 years and we specialize in primary care, and we work on permanent placements, and that is it. We were a primary care business, but since lockdown we've actually added three sectors to the business, and we're pivoting towards, you know, being a healthcare brand as opposed to just a primary care brand now. So quite a big change, and it sounds really reactive, but we did have, you know, these plans in place for 2020 anyway. But you know, the situation as it is, it has presented some scenarios where we've been in touch with people that we wouldn't have done otherwise. So yes, we kind of, you know, started one or two, but you know, admittedly, a couple of these sectors have just come from, you know, absolute kind of, you know, chance. They fit in with the brand. We've been able to add some really good people to the team. So we are now a healthcare team. Before that, as I say, primary care, an award-winning business, based in Leeds, specialising in permanent recruitment.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for that. And that's wonderful to hear that you've sort of excelled in explaining what pivoting actually means in your sector and taking advantage of that, which is wonderful to hear. Now, the subject that you want to talk about today is truly gripping, because it's a word that I think gets overused and gets misunderstood, and it's something that you're really trying to become an expert in, and it would want to talk about grit. So can you explain to people who aren't sure what the premise of grit actually is, please?
I think it's defined, this comes from Angela Duckworth, so it's very specifically hers, and she's an American psychologist, basically. So she defines it as passion and perseverance over time. So that's essentially what grit is. But then she further defined it with an equation, because, you know, she's from a science background. You know, you've got to have a equation. It's got to be, testable. So it's talent times effort equals skill, and skill times effort equals achievement. And essentially what she's saying is that, the highest performers in society, whether it's, top athlete, or, you know, someone in the military, or, you know, a top chef, this trait, the most common denominator amongst them, is the effort level and the ability to be consistent over a long time and not maintain passion for a short period, you know, even years, but decades, essentially. And that's what grit is. And I think it's, you know, highly relevant to the recruitment sector.
So in relation to that, I mean, recruitment has fast regarded been as one of a meritocracy. So you are rewarded financially, but also in terms of your career. To the more effort you put in, the more you get out. So where do you think the recruitment market sits at the moment? And you can talk about it in relation to your own business, of course. Do you think that all recruiters have grit, for example? Is that something that's inherent in recruiters? Or is it something you learn?
It's definitely not inherent in recruiters, because I've seen lots of different, you know, recruiters over the year. But one thing I will say is that it's definitely a key trait, and definitely that's something there in the top recruiters, because I think all top recruiters have to have grit, because it's not the easiest kind of, you know, profession to be in. But if you want to be, you know, the best and be best over a long period, you've got to have that desire. You've got to have a passion for what you do, and you've got the discipline to turn up even when you're not feeling great and do those things consistently. We know we need to do as recruiters to be successful over a period of time, and it's not always easy to do those things, particularly if you're feeling, you know, rubbish. You know, something bad's happened in your personal life. You know, you're ill, or you know, you've been away on holiday. All of those things happen to all of us, but you know, the top performers always have that ability to stay consistent, because they do what's needed all of the time, regardless of what else is happening. So, I'd say, you know, not enough people in recruitment probably have that. The top performers, but the thing about grit is it isn't inherent, and that's what I like about it. It's saying that this doesn't come from talent or having a natural ability for something. And I entered recruitment you used to hear, you know, where people saying that recruitment consultants had the gift of the gab, or, you know, a certain kind of, you know, way with people that meant they were going to excel. And I don't think that's, you know, the case at all. Recruitment is a process, essentially. Mm-hmm. And processes, just like grit, can be learned over time. So yeah, the really cool thing about it is, you know, it's malleable, and mindset and skill are things that anyone can learn if they're disciplined enough.
So, I mean, one of the other things we're going to talk about is sort of stress and resilience and talking about mindset. So as we record this, you know, we are still in a COVID situation. I'm not sure if we're officially still in lockdown or not, but there's certainly a lot of measures still in place. Retail is open now. We're mid-June as we record this. So what, you know, from your perspective, what are the techniques that you're hoping, sort of becoming an expert in this subject matter, will give you, for example, with your consultants when it comes to stress and resilience management?
Yeah, it's just kind of like seeing it differently. I mean, one of the things, you know, one of the studies that she did, like, originally, I think, you know, is a relevant point to us all now, is that, you know, she looked at research from West Point Military Academy in America, that is famed for having a pretty brutal regime, and, you know, people, you know, and fallout rates, and only the best of the best, you know, getting through. But what they found in the study is that, you know, once they were there, the stress levels that they went in with didn't really become, you know, huge, to the point where for the top forms it was debilitating, because it was a shared experience. So actually the camaraderie and having other people, you know, helped with stress, seemingly. Okay. That's what we've got as a society at the moment, because everyone's going for the same thing. Absolutely. And if you're staying in communication, you know, there's a bit, you know, and with your colleagues, and, you know, continuing to speak and communicate, that's really important, I think, for, you know, keeping those stress levels at a certain level, because everyone's going through it. And I think psychologically, as a human, because that is the case, you can rationalize that and think, well, actually, it's not that bad then. It's not just me. I think people panic when they think it's just unique to them. I think it then feels like it's something that you can't get out of. You feel, you know, victimized psychologically. So that's a really important thing, obviously, you know, keeping in touch and communicating. But the other thing as well is that I listened to a really cool Nike podcast, and again, it was the same psychologist, you know, talking about viewing stress differently. So we all, you know, view stress as this negative, debilitating thing, and we need to minimize it from our lives at all cost. So almost when you actually get stress, you then stress and get a secondary stress response about stress. So you not only got the, you know, stress that you're stressing about in the, you know, the first place, you're actually then stressing about having stress, which is crazy. Yeah. And even more impactful. So it's actually seeing stress as something that is innate to human beings. Yeah. And actually not getting rid of it, but optimizing stress. So recognizing it's there, but actually recognizing that it drives a lot of the you know, the characteristics that maybe make you good at what you are. And I've definitely kind of, you know, seen that, you know, with some of our team members. And that's, you know, made me approach conversations with them differently, where I'm not saying, well, you know, don't stress out, which is a ridiculous thing to say when people are stressed. And I think it's perfectly acceptable to be stressed at present, because it is a stressful time. Actually saying that, you know, yes, you're stressed, but we're all stressed. And actually your stress is what makes you awesome at what you do, because it pushes you. So don't stress about being stressed. Recognize it's there, but actually it's a positive thing and it can enhance what you do. But then be kind to yourself, reflect on the good results that you have achieved, so you can give yourself a mental break, you know, at the end of the day, end of the week.
Absolutely. And, you know, to say to somebody don't stress is so counterintuitive. It's the most ridiculous notion, isn't it? But a lot of what you said there, actually, I don't know if you've read The Chimp Paradox, Dr. Steve Peters, this element of, you know, using and actually taking the stress and actually allowing it to enhance your performance. So you're not just surviving, but you're thriving. And actually, how do you get people to that point? Do you think that's something that you can, as you as a business leader, is that something you can train somebody, or is that something that is so personal that you have to find it from within you?
I think it's a bit of both, because I think with grit you've got to have accountability. Mm. So you know, what I've learned is you can, you know, you can say things until you're blue in the face. There has to be a point where that person takes accountability. Mm. But I think one thing is, it can definitely be learned, and you can say to yourself, you know, rather than trying to tackle it all in one go, just view things in steps, and, you know, just tick things off a list. There are basic things that you can control about your life that would make you, you know, stress less at work and in your life, whether that's, yeah, I'm going to get up for, you know, that bit of exercise. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to drink that. You know, I'm going to go to bed early. All of those things I've just said there actually kind of, you know, enhance mood and enhance, you know, not being kind of, you know, stressed. You know, doing yourself that favor and, you know, just doing something as basic as I'm going to go to bed at a decent time and get sleep, you know, get a good night's sleep tonight is massively important. And, you know, when you listen to loads of stuff and look at research, it's like the biggest performance enhancing drug available.
It really is.
We can all do that. So yeah, there are things that you can take accountability for, even if it's something as basic as
it's discipline, yeah. Isn't it? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's people that,
yeah, yeah.
And going back to grit, it's doing something consistently all of the time to achieve a goal.
Yeah.
Comes from self-discipline, whatever that is, whether that's from top athletes, filler, great mom, best chef. You will do the same things every day, and actually, it's not rocket science, actually.
No, and it works the other way as well. So, because you know, we've obviously found ourselves in these, you know, situations, and you know, 50% of behaviour is routine, you know, probably. It's actually being kind to yourself and recognizing that on those days that you have missed, you know, a workout, or you did eat, you know,
too much chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate. You know, for me, you know, so you know, yeah, chocolate basically. You know, being kind of recognizing, well, yeah, you know, that happened, but it's not a disaster, because on those other days, you know, minimize that or mitigate it, and not, you know, just say, oh, because I've done that, I'll blow it now. I'm just, you know, that's it. I'm just going to be an absolute chocolate bean, and all I'm going to eat for breakfast, lunch, and tea is chocolate. So it works the other way as well. You've got to recognize that you have to be kind to yourself, that you have slip ups, and then, you know, just give yourself.
Pull yourself back in. So one final question. As a business owner then, how do you establish during an interview process whether somebody has either got natural grit or whether they have the potential to learn the mindset that you're talking about?
I think it's really, really difficult to establish grit during the course of an interview process. I mean, we have like a psychometric test in there as... does give you some indications towards certain types of behavior related to, you know, grit, for example, like, you know, being a starter, finisher, you know, those questions that you get asked, you know what they're getting at in those kind of tests, you know, do you complete tasks? You know, do you get bored from tasks? Do you switch tasks a lot? So technically we do have that element that can establish that, you know, at that phase, which is great because you're, you know, looking for. Conversely, there might be someone that is the exact opposite end of the scale, and you're like, right, okay. You know, it's not necessarily a yes or no, it's going to rule you out, but you could then factor in questions at a face-to-face stage about those things. So probe on those things, you know, further, because, you know, not everyone is comfortable with those types of, you know, questionnaires, and actually might be better face-to-face. So it then can actually allow you to, you know, to change your tack and on those things at so you can do that. And then over time, it's those things that I've mentioned. It's actually consistency in results. You know, we all have, you know, certain, you know, KPIs or critical success factors or whatever targets, you know, that you work towards. So those that do consistently well are those that do the things we know we need to do as, you know, recruiters time and time again, and are consistent across months, quarters, you know, biannually, annually. That's what kind of, you know, grit is. And more recently, have also showed a fantastic attitude in what is, you know, a stressful climate. They've stepped up, you know, they're jeering other people up. They're getting them going. You know, they're you know, maintaining a really fantastic positive attitude. They're continuing to do what they're doing, recognizing that they're not going to get the results, but continuing to do it anyway because they can celebrate smaller wins. So I think going forward, as we've kind of discussed, I think, you know, it'll be easier to recognize, you know, grit in people, but I think it's something that, you know, all consultants should be striving to achieve. And as I say, the key thing that I mentioned is that it's not just this abstract thing. It is learnable. It is something that you can teach yourself, and we can all be, you know, disciplined, I suppose, is the good news. But I think we're all going to have to do that in the current climate, because we all know it's a lot tougher out there.
Yeah, and it will continue to do so. And I must say that my dog decided to, I don't know if you heard his voice then, he decided to stay in the conversation if anyone's got very agile ears. It's all really interesting, and I'm sat here nodding because I think it is a learned thing. I know that if I think about me now, at the age that I am and where I am in my career, I think I'm a very different person. And I think that life's taught me a lot of grit, and I've read a lot of books around it. So I think if we can signpost people after we finish this call now to these podcasts and the books that you're reading, really insightful. Thank you so much for your time today, Andy. I really appreciate it. And best of luck with everything. Thank you so much.
Yeah, cheers. Take care.
Thanks for joining.